Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Welcome to NBA Today, presented by ESPN Bet.
Did Devin Booker just redefine his rivalry with Luka Doncic in a tech-filled Rivals Week showdown? We're decoding what went down in Dallas last night that gave a power shift to the Suns. Plus, Giannis and the Bucks, they enter a new chapter. How much pressure is on Dame and Giannis with Doc Rivers' arrival? We'll discuss. And why tonight's meeting at the Mecca? It could change everything about how our panel views the Knicks' postseason chances. NBA Today starts right now. Welcome to NBA Today, presented by ESPN Bet. The entire squad is here. Chinne Agubuike, Richard Jefferson, Kendrick Perkins, his new bling. I'm Malika Andrews.
He's smiling. Richard,
I'm happy to be here.
What's it like sitting next to your rival?
Oh, it is the week for it.
That would imply that we are comparable. We are not.
Definitely not.
We are not.
Oh, my goodness. Well, it's not just in our studio, Chinne. Rivals Week had continued across
one
the
guy
NBA.
Help, one trying to grow.
Is that me?
It was headlined by Devin Booker and Luka Doncic.
I had a moment. I was like, wait, y'all doing a graphics?
It's pretty close.
Face it off in Dallas. Richard Jefferson, I guess, reffing that game.
Oh, man.
Luka making some trick shots pregame. Let's get down to what happened.
Last time we saw Luka smile.
It would keep that Luka magic at least early, right, Chinne, in the first quarter here.
Yeah, he was smiling in the first half. I mean, what? He's so tremendous. Number two overall in the NBA in made threes. He's been shooting the ball so well. He was locked in. He was aggressive. He was passing. He was their everything.
He had 24 points in the first half. Luka for three. Yep, that one is good as well. So he was feeling himself a little bit early on here. Rich, let's go to the third quarter. Ooh-wee. Devin Booker and
it
the
ain't
Suns.
So fun when the rabbit got the gun.
Oh,
because right now, Devin Booker, we know about the little big back and forth that they've had. Luka comes out, leads his team. But this third quarter by Devin Booker was perfection. On the road, spacing, look, quality shots, getting quality looks, you get quality drops right there. That's what you call a shooter's touch. Look at his numbers in the third.
22 points in the third on 82% shooting, but of course, Kevin Durant, he had to get his too. Little J from Book.
Oh yeah, KD go do his thing, but this
but look at
all,
that shot.
This was all about D Book, and look at KD setting them up perfectly.
Booker finished with 46 points. The Suns get the win, 132-109. That's after Luka went off in the first. And let's just say it, I mean, Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, they're pretty good. This is the second duo to each have multiple 40-point games in a four-game span. The Suns, they were 11th on Christmas, and now 1 month later, they're fifth. So, Richard, if they keep playing like this, how far are the Suns going in the postseason?
Look, I think, to me, they are a conference finalist contender. If you were to ask me what their ceiling is, it's the conference finals. To go to the NBA Finals, the amount of team now, they don't have a complete roster. There are things that they have lacking. They've given away a lot of their assets that would allow them to bring in new pieces to fill out their roster. So they're probably going to have to wait till the offseason, in my opinion. But this team can get it to a conference finals. This team has that ability. And in their first full year together, I think that's a compliment.
This may sound crazy.
It is. Ooh, we're ready.
This may sound crazy. But a team that has Kevin Durant, Bradley Beal, and Devin Booker, this team feel like a sleeper in the West, right? Like, you actually could call –
that's not crazy.
No, because you just said their ceiling is the conference finals, so obviously you don't have them picked to win the West.
No.
Do you have them picked to win the West?
So you're basically saying they're a sleeper to win it all this year.
Yeah, and it shouldn't be that way. Like, when they made this trade for Bradley Beal, we already knew that they were going to be top-heavy, but they have three of the most prolific, efficient scorers to ever play the game of basketball, along with one of the guys that's considered an all-time great and one of the best in the game today. So, like, it's fair to say that they are a sleeper, because if they upset or beat a Denver Nuggets or the Clippers that we have ranked ahead of them.
Answer the question.
What?
What's the question? How far do you think, is it a sleeper to go someplace? I'm saying, where do you think their ceiling is?
Their ceiling is the conference finals.
So the conference finals.
Yeah,
so everything.
I'm not arguing with you, but that still shouldn't be their goal just because we said that's their
But it makes sense. It makes sense. I agree. Conference finals, that is their potential, the realistic potential for right now. I do think they could be a sleeper to come out of the West based off of what we've seen in the last seven games. If they keep this momentum up,
right.
They have a top 10 defense. But do you guys realize that this is the hottest? What do you say?
I said, thank you. Somebody was sent.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if I want that.
You
know
what I'm saying? You going to take that, Malika?
I know, right? But do you all realize that this is probably the best shooting we've seen in the offensive game in a very, very long time? They're number one in the last seven, which is their win streak, in field goal percentage. But get this. They have two of the best three-point shooters right now. Do you want to guess who's number one on that list?
Grayson Allen.
Good job.
Leading the
correct.
League
49%. KD, career-high three-point percentage. They're snipers, not just KD and his name.
Right.
But the entire roster. So if they keep this up and manage their defense, they have the tools.
Matt Ishbia doesn't want to hear this, though.
They want to win it all.
They want to win it all.
Right.
When they traded for Kevin Durant, when all of
I want a full head of hair.
You are like 6 foot nine.
Look at the reality.
I want to lose weight. There's a lot of things we want in life.
I'm good.
That's absolutely true.
One of us can control the hair and weight.
But I'm just saying, think that you were going to have the same chance of growing a full head of hair as they have to go to the finals?
I was the first one to say it. I was like, we were talking about who was going to run point. Devin Booker answered that. He was outstanding. They've done a great job of distributing the ball. That was one. The next part is they don't have the depth. They don't have the bench. They at times they don't even have the size. So they're a very good team. And this is the thing. If they were to go to the NBA Finals, everybody on this panel would
say that
we wouldn't be surprised, but we would believe that they are overachieving based off of what they have. If they were to win a championship, I would say that they are overachieving compared to the other teams in the complete roster. If they were to play against the Boston Celtics with that depth, that size, and they were to beat the Celtics, it's because those top three averaged 25 across and everybody else played outstanding.
I still have LA Clippers over them.
I have the Denver Nuggets over them.
So I guess it's just a little bit wild to me that we're talking about, we'd be surprised to see Kevin Durant team up with Devin Booker and win a championship.
The game changed a lot since they came together.
That is absolutely true, and the West got a lot better. Speaking of Luka Doncic, let's get to him because he certainly stuffed the stat sheet. He had nearly a triple-double here, but it was his interaction with a fan that became a point of contention after the game. So our Tim McMahon reported that Luka Doncic asked security to eject a Suns fan who was sitting two rows behind the midcourt press section. And the comment the fan made that drew Luka's wrath, right, was, "You're tired, get your behind on the treadmill." So following the loss, he used a different word. Luka took exception to being asked about this incident.
"I know, I saw you when you said about the fan, you know. That was not a true all. That was not the only thing he said. But I knew you would be the first one to point out something like that. I'm not going to say what he said, but I knew you were going to be the first one to put out something like that, so I just saw it, man. It's just funny. You always seem to be the first one to put some bad stuff about me."
Why did you ask for the fan to be ejected?
Because he was cursing me the whole first half, too.
Why didn't you ask for him to be ejected in the first half, then?
Because I never would eject a fan. They pay for tickets, but I had enough, you know. It's a little bit of frustration.
You turned your head and looked over at him after he said that. That's what we saw.
Yeah, that's fine. Be the bad guy in the media, right? It's all right.
Okay, so there's a whole lot going on there. Our Tim McMahon just put on social media, just clarifying.
A man like me.
The fan left on his own terms. Is he being too sensitive?
Hell yeah, he's being too sensitive. Look, at the end of the day, you know why that fan didn't get injected and he just left? Because they was getting their ass blown out. The game was over. So he's like, "Oh, look, I don't want any heat. Last 3 minutes,
it's not
like
I'm
good.
I saw my team do their thing."
And look, Luka, he didn't even address the question. He's like, "I knew you were going to be the one to ask me those questions," talking about Tim McMahon. And you're just like, look, at the end of the day, Luka comes from a place where they play basketball, where they have flares going off. It is crazy in Europe. To say that an individual was cussing all day, he said it might have been a little bit of frustration. I heard 10 paragraphs. There was one sentence that I heard, and that goes, it might have been a little bit of frustration.
You know what I did on Sunday?
What'd you do?
Did y'all know what I did on Sunday?
What did you do?
I actually went to church. And I went and heard my good brother pass the key on. And you know what was the theme for that Sunday?
A little bit of frustration?
No. Purpose. Purpose, right? And so Luka walking into that arena last night, his purpose wasn't to get that fan thrown out of the game or get into it with the fan. His purpose wasn't to get into it with Tim McMahon after the game. That was a distraction. His purpose was to go in there and, because it's rivalry week, to go at Devin Booker and get a win. But the problem is that the guy on the other end had a purpose, okay? And D Book. And so D Book walked into his house, didn't knock on the door, didn't take off his shoes, sat on his couch, went turned on his TV, watched what he wanted to watch, and he ordered a 46-piece wing dinner from Buffalo Wild Wings. And you know the killer part about it?
What?
You know what he did? He used Luka's credit card because he door-dashed it. He door-dashed it. So that was the problem, right? Luka's purpose was to get at D-Book, who, by the way, Devin Booker owns that matchup in their career. He's 10-3 against Luka Doncic.
Not
that was his frustration.
Did he turn the AC down?
He had the fan blowing and everything.
Everything
he wanted to do. He missed six shots.
Look, yes. I think the difference here is that there were two guys with purpose, and one of the guys, Devin Booker, had his team with him. And they have a mission right now, the Suns. We've seen what they've done the last few games. As it pertains to Luka, he's doing so much for the Dallas Mavericks. I mean, number two, 33 points per game in scoring. Like, he's holding them down without Kyrie in certain circumstances.
Last night, Kyrie was out, yep.
But I think we're all, like, every year we come in and say, this is a guy that's an MVP caliber guy. Is this a team that's going to really take them over the edge? It feels like there's this idea, this aura of comfortability, where it's like, okay, this distraction is an excuse. It's a deflection from what actually our team is.
Sure.
We have great expectations for Luka Doncic, and he's doing most, if not all. The only thing is the intangibles, staying focused. We've seen so many games from the last year to this year where there's a foul call. He's got a mean stare down.
43 texts, right, over the last three seasons?
Exactly. But those texts, you can even see they tend to be late in game. I know certain times, like, this was a blowout, but, like, they're late in game and they dictate the outcome. Yeah. He has to avoid those to provide the leadership.
But, and it's not just here in the league. When you look at when he was playing international basketball this summer, right, he had a moment where he was kicked out. And so it's like, look, when you have that amount of usage rate, right, for a guy, you might miss one or two foul calls for a player over the court. When you are a guy that has that amount of usage rate, yeah, there might be four or five just because you're involved in every single play. But for me, Luka, if you're going to elevate your team to a championship team,
right,
and I don't think they have a championship roster. No Kyrie, so we're not going to put too much stock in the game. But what I heard,
Yes, we are. It's rivalry week.
Devin Booker and him, they went to
tell. We're going to put a lot of stock into
it. But Book had help.
But I'm saying, Book had help in the sense that he wasn't having to chase around a Kyrie last night.
Yeah.
And so there is an element of there of, like, look, Book showed up, did his job. Luka was a little frustrated, and we saw how it manifested, but it's manifested in that manner multiple times.
Correct.
In other areas,
patterns.
Mainly with Tex.
Yep.
That's what's worrying.
Real quick, Perk, do you think that Luka is going to have to get this, and I put the arguing with the refs, I don't want to put too much stock into this one incident, but this under control before he's going to be able to get to that next level?
I mean, I feel like we keep talking about this year after year. At some point, if a person show you who they are, you got to believe them. So, I mean, like, we don't want him to change his mindset.
Sure.
And tenacity, hell, I led the league in Tex for three straight years.
And he says that
right
proudly. All right, coming up on NBA Today.
In my afterlife.
The NBA's newest rivalry was on full display last night. What should we read into Victor Wembanyama's throwdown on Chet Holmgren? Do you think he can dunk? Stephen A was saying that 7-footers, you know, that I'm not sure that that's a dunk if you're 7-foot.
No, it's a dunk.
It's a dunk.
How tall you are,
Jalen Brunson,
right?
And the Knicks, though, they've been rolling, but they have a huge test against Nikola Jokic tonight, and why New York, why a win would be their most important of the season. And it hasn't been the easiest reign for the King this year, so who should the Lakers be looking to add? Well, we have some ideas. You're watching NBA Today.
It's my Knicks, Malik.
Your Knicks.
Our Knicks.
Knicks. No,
my Knicks. I always back you up.
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
NBA Today is presented by ESPN Bet, the official sports book of ESPN.
Look at Perk. Rivals Week, it rolls on in the NBA. So let's go coast to coast. We're going to start with the rookie battle in San Antonio. Chet Holmgren, he got the win. He's 2-0 versus Spurs. But Victor had the better stats, right? 24 points, 12 boards. That's really been the story of the season for these two. The rookie of the year odds, they shifted in Victor's favor this morning. Richard, who should be favored?
Oh, Chet Holmgren, in my opinion. Look, at the end of the day, Wembanyama's been putting out outstanding numbers. But if you draft the number one pick, if you draft a once-in-a-generation talent, he should make your team better. Their team is not better this year than they were last year. They're not a very good team.
That is so unfair. This is not like the MVP award. Damn it, this is the rookie of the year.
The rookie of the year has the impact.
He has exceeded expectations. His numbers
exceeded. I got you.
Dominating Chet Holmgren.
All right, let's get to the Grizzlies and the Heat.
Leads every statistical category, but yeah, perfect.
Terry Rozier had 9 points in his Heat debut. Memphis handed Miami their fourth straight loss. The Heat had the lowest scoring offense in the league in the month of January. So, Perk, they added Rozier, but do they have enough here?
Enough to do what?
Enough to go back to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Hell no, they don't. And look, I know the Milwaukee Bucks got the Miami Heat on their hit list, the New York Knicks do, and definitely the Boston Celtics. They just don't have enough.
Well, how about this, Chinee? The Timberwolves at the Wizards here. Anthony Edwards dropped 38 in the win, and after the game, Washington, they announced their head coach, Wes Unseld Jr., was being moved to the front office. They'll be hiring a new coach in the offseason. How tough of a job is this going to be to build this team back up, Chinee?
Probably the toughest in the league right
back
now.
Back up to what?
Yeah, that's what I'm
back up to what?
First of all,
in your lifetime?
Like boy band, no direction.
They haven't been to the look at this.
Well, no direction.
Back up to what?
They're two wins up from the
your piston. Lifetime, Richard, including this year, the Wizards franchise has gone 45 straight seasons without a 50-win.
Listen, 50 wins.
Anybody that takes that job is running into a burning building with the police chasing.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. All right, let's look ahead to tonight. The reigning champs are going to be in Madison Square Garden, taking on the Knicks. Nikola Jokic, 6-2 all-time at the Garden. The Knicks have won 10 of their last 12, but there are some questions about the quality of their competition. Take a look at this. New York has been dominating, right, the lower tier of the NBA, 20-1 against sub-500 teams. Got to do what you got to do, but they're just 7-16 against teams that are 500 or better. So this is probably, I think, the toughest matchup New York has had since the OG Anunoby trade. Perk, what do they need to prove against the Nuggets? You're warming your hands already.
Yep, I mean, they need to prove that they're ready to compete at that level. We're talking about the defending champs, and I don't want to see that graphic again, right? 7-16 against teams above, you know, with a 500 or better record. They're 8-2 with OG in the lineup. I know that. They smacked Philly. They went to Philly and handled their business with OG in the lineup and them healthy. Tonight is going to be rocking. I know that much.
All right, what do they need to do? They need what Perk loves. They need a signature win so that we can cement our aspirations for them in this postseason. Moving OG Anunoby to the Knicks has helped them a lot. So now I'm looking at the matchups. You have someone like Nikola Jokic, someone that's going to be similar to like an Embiid or a Tatum, like some of the best of the best. How do you defensively scheme against those types of situations? I'm excited to see what they do. Also, OG, who's he guarding on the perimeter? Like, they actually have things to tinker with, switching. I mean, no one really wants to do zone, but you could play zone a little bit. So I'm excited to see what they do and treat this like a playoff game. I would not say playoff zero or whatever, like I did NBA Final Zero, but like this is a playoff game, a playoff opportunity for them to make a statement.
This is the one time that the defending champions are coming into the Garden. This is the one time. This is your one time to see the defending champs.
Yes, it's no different than what happened in Boston, where Denver went into Boston was like, let me show you guys the difference, right? It was a close game, but let me show you the difference. Going into the Garden, I think the Knicks have an opportunity to establish themselves not as one of the favorites in the league, but as one of the teams that have higher expectations in that Eastern Conference, the conference finals. I think they have the talent to get to a conference finals, but these are the games that give you the confidence to believe that you can go do it.
But I think also a lot of people are going to be able to put, be able to see the real value of OG, right? Because I'm pretty sure Tibbs is going to mix it up. We're going to see him guard Jokic a lot tonight. We're going to see him guard Aaron Gordon a lot tonight. I think watching OG, him getting his just due, he's going to show why he's so valuable and why Toronto had, why the Knicks had to give up so much to get him there.
Just really quickly, in case anybody was wondering, Jokic, the seven foot 300 pound guy, shooting 61% on threes in the last 13 games.
Yeah, it's a tall task.
It's a tall task.
It is a tall task, literally.
God.
Do you think the Knicks can make the conference finals?
I think the Knicks can be a real sleeper. Like, I don't think they're expected to win the conference finals or get to the conference finals, but I think they can be a sleeper. We would not be surprised by based off of the identity that they have. But, you know, I was talking about the defensive schemes. That's exactly what we're talking about, having OG being able to guard any position. But what I really want to see is what Jalen Brunson does. Like, this feels like it's his year. It feels like it's his year. It's his moment. He's putting up big numbers. He has tough matchups going up against the Nuggets with Murray and company. And so it's going to be interesting to see, all right, like, is he going to be super aggressive to show that he's an alpha, or is he going to get everyone else going? And he's shown that he's been an alpha so far this season, but I'm excited to see what he does with that matchup.
You're excited about to see what level, because at the end of the day, when people talk about 1A, there's only I'm not going to reference that. I'm saying there's only six guys that are currently playing that have led a team to an NBA championship. And by saying 1A, you're saying, can he be a part of that class? Well, tonight he's playing against a man that is in that class.
Yep.
So you want to see him versus Jokic. It is not a one-on-one matchup. It is who can lead their team.
Every single time he has matched up with 1As, he has
But we did see that stat, though. Yeah.
But that's what we're all saying.
You're a lot of 1As on those over 500.
Said he doesn't want to see that stat ever again, and now we understand why. But if Jalen Brunson does be able, it's not even come out with a win, but be able to go toe to toe with the Denver Nuggets
with
tonight,
Jamal Murray,
then I think tomorrow our conversation could be even a little bit different. All right, we're feeling good about the New York Knicks. Not sure how we're feeling about the Los Angeles Lakers. With the trade deadline looming, could LA be looking for more than just a win tonight from the Bulls? Find out next. And the NBA All-Star fan vote is in, so we're going to reveal who made the cut, and you won't believe the huge stars that got snubbed. That's coming up. Plus, the Warriors, they were back in action last night. Did our experts see signs that Golden State is on the way to turning their season around, Richard? That's coming up.
I didn't say that.
Seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back to NBA Today, presented by ESPN Bet.
The Golden State Warriors, they were back in action last night for the first time since the death of assistant coach Dejan Milojevic. And here's how they honored him last night. The Warriors, they wore shirts that said, Brate, which translates in Serbian to brother. They also had his initials on the court. Milojevic's family, his wife Natasha, his children Masa and Nikola were in attendance for the game. The Warriors, as you can see, they wore special jerseys with his name on the back, and Steph Curry, Draymond Green, Klay Thompson, clearly emotional. And as Steph hits his first three here of the game, watch him here. Afterwards, he dedicates this basket to Dejan, which the team called Decky. And the Warriors, they really just got rolling from there, Richard.
Yes, no, this was a big, you talk about emotional win, but some of it is they had those two games that were canceled, spent 5 days really just being with your thoughts, not able to use basketball as an escape. But I think if this team cannot rally with this moment here, then yes, a lot of people have been saying their dynasty, their run might be over, but this is an opportunity for them to come together, and they were led by Jonathan Kuminga last night.
Jonathan Kuminga, I mean, he went crazy, Shanae.
He absolutely did, and you could just see the Warriors. They're playing with joy. I think, you know, they all were looking for each other, and it just was true Warriors basketball. I mean, look, sharing the ball, Steph doing his thing. This is what we expect, and I think it was a truly special moment for them to honor their coach.
Kuminga, I mean, Steph is loving what he's seeing from him. Golden State gets the win, 134 to 112. The Warriors, they now have 7 games remaining in the 2 weeks before the trade deadline. All but one of those games is against a team within a half game of the play-in tournament. So, Richard, you touched on this. This might be the most important stretch of the season for the Golden State Warriors, just when you look at the fact that they're still 3 games under 500, 1 game out of the last play-in spot. Do you think, Chinee, that there is a world in which the Warriors can turn this season around right now?
I think they can definitely turn the season around. I do think that their expectations have changed. Like, I'm no longer thinking that this is the Warriors of 2 years ago that can make a run to the NBA Finals. I think they just need to figure out what is working and what is good and be able to beat the teams that they're expected to beat. You know, what I saw yesterday was Steph being Steph, Klay making open shots, the ball moving around, them playing, you know, just you could see, you know, a weight off of them because they realized that they had been brought together through this tragic circumstance, and it just reminded you back of, like, this is them at their best. This is them at their finest. Now, unfortunately, their finest is different. The landscape of the West is completely different, way more competitive. They're going to have some big decisions to make, but they can win more than they had in the first half of the season, but they're not the team that we thought was, you know, the champions 2 years ago.
Okay, look, my last year in college, Lute Olson's wife, she passed away. She passes away in the middle of the season. He has to take some time away. That was like our mom. But that was really our rallying cry for the rest of the season that took us to the Final Four. And we were kind of struggling because our coach wasn't around. This is a different situation, but it's still a family member. You have a family member that you break bread with every day, that has been working with players every day. Last year, we knew that there were some internal squabbles. We knew that there was some pettiness. There were some things going on. They tried to change that. So now this is a perspective moment for them, right? Nothing's guaranteed. These are a rare opportunity to have this group together. And if we want to maximize it, this is not about contracts anymore. This is not about who's playing, who's starting. This is about, hey, we have an opportunity here, and can we maximize that opportunity? So I stand by. If this can't be a rallying cry for this team to say, we still have enough. And the last thing I'll say is this. They're similar, in my opinion, in a very different way to the Milwaukee Bucks. The Milwaukee Bucks are struggling because some of their role players are looking like they're older. They're looking a little bit slower. They don't look like they have that same burst. And I see the same thing with the Golden State Warriors. Their core group is a little bit older. They don't have that exact same burst. And that's what made them dominant, not just their three-point shooting. So they got to get some of that energy, some of that fire back, and these are moments that can help that.
I mean, the question is, right, can the Warriors turn this season around from disappointing to real contenders? And the answer is no. I think they got a 3-game stretch at home, right, against Philly and I believe, what is it, the Lakers and the Sacramento Kings tonight. Like, this is the stretch that's going to identify to the front office with Mike Dunleavy and Joe Lacob of whether or not they should move in a different direction. And you just touched on how this team look old. I mean, the speed ladder is not going to help them out, right? Like, going to do agility is not going to get them faster. Like, at the end of the day, the Milwaukee Bucks still got Damian Lillard and Giannis Antetokounmpo. The Milwaukee Bucks are 30-13. This team is struggling. And I feel like, at the end of the day, last night was an emotional win, and rightfully so. But still, they still got a lot of ground to make up, and I just don't see them turning the corner to getting back into the contentions, might being a contender.
If they're going to, it has to start right now. Another team that really can't afford to wait here is the Los Angeles Lakers. They're ninth. They host the Bulls tonight across the street. And here come the Chuckle Brothers. LeBron, he missed last game against the Clippers with an ankle injury. Listed as questionable tonight. And although they're playing the Bulls, our reporter covering the Lakers, Dave McMenamin, said that a LaVine trade to L.A., it would be unlikely. But speaking of trades, we're officially 2 weeks from the NBA trade deadline. So here are some of the players the Lakers could target in the next several weeks. This is all according to McMenamin. There are three categories here. We're going to start with the big swing for later. Remember, the Lakers, if they wait, they could have three picks to be dealing with over the summer. So those would be Trae Young and Donovan Mitchell. They could make a big swing now. DeJounte Murray. So smaller swings now. You could see Colin Sexton, Tyus Jones, Andre Drummond, Dorian Finney-Smith, Bruce Brown, Dennis Schroeder.
Just look, Dave, I'm not questioning Dave's reporting there because those are opportunities. Cleveland ain't giving up Donovan Mitchell. Like, look.
But that's not about that. It's about if they're looking at whether or not Donovan Mitchell will walk away in the future, and Donovan says, I don't want to be here, and they say, we don't want to lose Donovan for nothing. That would be the situation.
I get that. But again, that would also imply that would be who Donovan Mitchell would say, I want, because he has to specifically say, I have to go to the Lakers. And so the only thing I'm saying is that some of those names on that list are very, very attainable. They would be great pickups. And when you look at, like, the draft picks, but it's just like, you got to understand, they're building around Trae Young. They're building around Donovan Mitchell. So, in my opinion.
No, they're not. The Hawks are not building around Trae Young. I don't feel like they're committed to Trae Young. And by the way, RJ, let's keep the main thing right now. We're looking at this and we're saying, what player can the Lakers trade for to turn their seasons around and put them in a championship contender? It's not one player that's going to change it, right? If you could get two players, like, I feel like the Lakers have to get two players.
That would be nice.
I don't know if they could make it work, but if you could get a Colin Sexton and a Bruce Brown.
A Tyus Jones and a Bruce Brown.
I like that, right? Now all of a sudden we're having a different conversation. But going all in with a big swing to get DeJounte Murray, that's not moving the needle for me, right?
I disagree. Look, I was about to say, DeJounte Murray, 21 points, two-way type of guy, 5-5. That's what they're missing.
Okay, y'all disagree, but would y'all pick them to come out of the West if they traded for him?
Well, they would have to probably give up Austin Reeves if that would be the case. Just putting that out there.
Yeah, but this is a team that did not have that much. Like, there would not be that much of a difference, and they made it to the Western Conference Finals. But then you're going to get a guy that can actually score off the ball, take the pressure off of LeBron James, bring the ball up too, like DeJounte Murray. He could definitely bolster. No. Like, I don't think it's realistic that it's going to happen.
Don't shy away from the ass. I mean,
no, but I'm saying DeJounte could really help them.
If they could get the DeJounte Murray,
you would pick them.
Would they be in contention? I would say yes.
I would say
head of the snake. From on the defensive end, from the floor spacing to the pick and roll pace to another all-star. Yeah. There are all the things that they are looking for.
They'll beat the Clippers.
It's in contention, bro. Are they going to be favored for a championship?
Would you, Kendrick Perkins, put Austin Reeves on the table? Because that's what we're talking about.
Hell yeah.
His dog, his brother. I packed the U-Haul for.
I'm with you on that.
And I love Austin Reeves.
I love Austin Reeves.
We do.
But we have to really stop with this why would you give up Austin Reeves? And I would. Like,
he's on a very team-friendly.
Team-friendly ain't winning stuff.
But you know who's not team-friendly? LeBron James. LeBron James is not team-friendly.
He's win-friendly. He's win-now-friendly.
Well, look, at the end of the day, and this is no knock on Austin Reeves, one of my favorite things, I think it was Cam Thomas, and he was like, and Mikal Bridges, they were like, Mikal Bridges was like, shoot, I would trade me for Kevin Durant also.
We know what's good.
We know what the deal is. Yeah. Like, we all hoopers. We know if DeJounte Murray and his 21 points a game, all defensive, all-star game is up, I'd trade me too.
I hate to disappoint from being around the Lakers, it does seem like, at least for right now, moves around the edges, maybe again adding a couple of players as opposed to making that one big swing.
I don't think the edges is enough.
Let's lay some edges.
They need a low 500.
Yeah, they're going to be in San Francisco.
They don't need to tweak. They
this
need
weekend.
They need a new
Here's the schedule for NBA Rivals Week on Saturday on ABC. And then our nightcap, as you can see, the Warriors. And then we have the Heat, the Knicks at 3, followed by the Sixers and the Nuggets. Richard, you're on that, right?
Yes, I am. I cannot wait. Jokic, Embiid,
who's going to go for 70 in a triple double.
And he better show up.
Let's go.
All right, the clock, though, it's ticking, and it's not just because it's Dame time in Milwaukee. Who's under the most pressure to win the Bucks another championship? Herb, Richard, and Shanae. They all think it's someone different.
Who?
What?
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're watching NBA Today, presented by ESPN Bet.
The Bucks, they were in action for the first time since Adrian Griffin's
dismissal. That is so pissed.
They look a little unfazed, yeah? Giannis put up 35, 18, and 10 in their wire-to-wire win over the Cavs. And then after the game, Antetokounmpo, he spoke for the first time about their coaching change in Milwaukee. Take a listen.
No, I think he caught me by surprise. I've been here 11 years. This have happened one time before. I love the guy. I invited him to my wedding. You know, I talked with him. I was coached by him, and we did very, very, very well. I got to trust the front office. I got to trust the ownership group that they can see the bigger picture. My job is to be the best version of myself, to lead this team out there and help win games. And their job is to, you know, create the best team possible and the best atmosphere around the team possible.
Yeah. Giannis didn't know. Do you believe him?
No. Oh, my God. I am so surprised. I did not see that coming. He got fired? What?
You sound like Siri.
This is really, wow. This is, I am shocked. Can't you tell by my facial emotions? No, all kidding aside. I think with this team, they might not have saw it coming. Were they struggling? But it's just like any team that might struggle. Any team that's struggling, they might figure it. They might be able to figure it out.
You can't keep a straight face.
You don't see this.
You don't see. Keep a straight face.
You don't see top two teams fire coach
without their star player noting.
When was the last time we seen a coach get fired that had a 30-13?
2016, something around that. David Blatt.
David Blatt. Okay, cool.
Did you know?
Did I know what? That he was getting fired?
Yeah, he knew.
Oh,
no, I did not. I promise you, from that meeting we had, that was like
All I know is this.
I was new there.
All I know is this. Adrian Griffin would still be there if Giannis Antetokounmpo wanted him there. Period. It ain't no ends.
At the end of the day, though, Adrian Griffin out, Doc Rivers is in. So who is facing the most pressure to make this work in Milwaukee? Because that's the reason there's a coaching change.
Yeah, unfortunately, it is Doc Rivers. Because Giannis, he said he's been there 11 years. And the reality is that in those 11 years, this is his sixth coach. They changed the dial on that pretty quickly. We all know Woj sat at this desk for the last 2 days and dropped some bombs. And what he said to close our show not too long ago was that this is Doc Rivers' last best chance to really coach at a high level. He's getting, you know, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Dame Lillard, a really good team. And so as much as the players, like, we all know they can't make personnel tweaks, right? Like, they just don't have the assets to make personnel tweaks.
That's right.
He's going to have to coach his butt off to make up for the defense. And also get them back on track. And yeah, I know we've seen a history there, but I think it's not fair, but it is him.
I am not going to start a relationship with somebody that is 5'6" and then complain that they're not 6 feet tall. You know what you are getting with Doc Rivers. We are not in a situation here where Doc Rivers can be in a space
where we're 5'6" and you're 6'4".
My point is this. We know who the hell Doc Rivers is. The pressure is on, in my opinion, it is on Dame Lillard. When we are spending more time talking about what they lost than what
what they got back, that is an issue. Great They're point. Like, oh, well, their defense is 22nd, and they lost Drew Holiday, mm-hmm. and they lost this, and this is what they, and they had to give up. You're not talking about you just got a top 75
but
player.
But won't Dame have multiple opportunities to potentially win a championship?
No.
You think Dame is his last best chance?
When I say last best chance, I mean in this window. Doc Rivers is going to be there for two seasons.
Yeah, but Dame is going to play for another 5 or 6 or 7 years.
Yes, but he's not going to be Dame Lillard for 5 or 6 or 7 more years. Maybe if it's 3 or 4.
Still
Dame is under
25.
Pressure.
Well, y'all could stop.
They're
going
22
back.
In defense.
Y'all could stop going back and forth because both of y'all are wrong.
No.
Okay. the person who is under the most pressure is Giannis.
Right?
Giannis is the one that put pressure on the organization to trade for Damian Lillard and get Drew Holiday out of there. Giannis is the one that has been there for 11 years with 6 different coaches. Giannis had his hand in Mike Budenholzer getting fired. Giannis had his hand in Adrian Griffin getting fired. So don't come sit up here acting like it was a surprise. It wasn't no damn surprise. Giannis know exactly what's going on. He has a voice in that organization. Giannis Antetokounmpo, since Aaron Rodgers has left Wisconsin, he is the biggest superstar and figure. He is Wisconsin. He is Milwaukee. So don't come tell me anything about pressure. No other areas. I don't want to hear about Dame. I don't want to hear about Doc. It's all about Giannis.
Okay, so the guy that's won a Finals MVP in the last few years.
And a championship.
And a championship. Won all of that. There's a coach that hasn't won. Hold on. I let you finish. There's a coach that hasn't won anything since 2008.
Well, that has a conversation
over
here, though.
Let me finish.
Look at me.
Let me finish.
No, he's making my point here.
Yeah,
so thank you.
Make me finish, right?
Appreciate you.
So 2008, he hasn't won a championship. He has a long list of playoff struggles.
Yes.
Right? A long list of playoff struggles.
Yes.
Then you have another guy named Dame Lillard who just came over. And he is a Hall of Fame player, one of the NBA's 75 greatest. He is Dame time. But in this situation, their defense has dropped to a point where it is like it is unrecognizable. So if I'm walking into this situation, is it the coach that not a lot of people believe can be the deciding maker in between second round and conference finals? Is it the coach or is it the player that has not proven to keep that team at the elite level? Giannis is the reason why they're in this position to be successful in the first place.
Dame will have a lot of opportunities. Doc won't. That's what I'm saying. In this moment, Doc is under pressure to do the most with the least, given their circumstances with their personnel. But I agree with you. At the end of the day, people are going to say, did Dame win a championship or not? Doc has. Giannis has. Did Dame?
No, Doc is going to be with them for 3 years. That's 3 years of Dame Lillard window.
Look. Can we stop with the game sevens and Doc not winning game sevens?
No, because we cannot.
Hold on, bro. I'll let you talk. Let me finish.
Did you really?
The reason being is because in game sevens, majority of the time, and speaking from experience, because I didn't play with so many Hall of Famers, your superstars, they take you home in game sevens. It's no game planning in game sevens. Either you got it or you don't.
When you okay? up 3-2, so, when you up 3-1,
so, hold on,
when you up 3-1.
Time out. We label Giannis as one of the most dominant players. He's going to be one of the most all-time greats. How do we view them? We got to keep the same energy we keep for a Kevin Durant, a Steph Curry, a LeBron James. One championship is not enough.
Agreed.
One championship is not enough.
Agreed.
And you have the pieces around you to get it done. You're second in the Eastern Conference. Can you get it done again? Because, look, one could argue that they were KD big size 18s. If he wasn't on the line, he wouldn't have won the championship that year. Giannis got to get it done, and the pressure is on him.
Doc is a Hall of Fame coach. I think he's a great hire for this job. But at the end of the day, when we're looking at it, we know who Doc Rivers is. He has been, for 15 years, it's been up 3-1. Up 3-2.
Bro, this is
lead.
The best.
And you just said,
we need a back and forth.
Get your hand out
this
my
is,
pocket.
This is the best team, Doc, is the most championship-ready team that Doc Rivers has had since 2008 and when he was coaching the Celtics.
I would agree.
Okay.
So the pressure is on
about?
Him then.
No.
Here's what I know. I know the pressure is up in Milwaukee, and it's up at this desk right now. So take a break.
You put your hand on
whatever.
Perk, though, what's longer?
Drink some water.
History of hate between the Celtics and the Heat, or the time it takes Richard to text back?
Oh, he always called me right.
That ain't
just me then.
NBA Today is presented by ESPN Bet, the official sports book of ESPN.
It's the Golden State Warriors and the Sacramento Kings.
Anytime you have a playoff series with a team, that rivalry word comes up for sure.
Their first playoff win in almost 17 years.
Being able to play against that dynasty is always a challenge.
Curry, three. Got it! He gave it the night on the way back.
You know, our meeting in the playoffs last year was epic. You know, a seven-game series. It's great for Northern California to see the Kings and the Warriors going at it.
That was a good series. All right, here's a look at tonight's seven-game slate as Rivals Week rolls on. The Kings and Warriors, of course, will renew acquaintances after that seven-game playoff series. Celtics face the Heat. And then, where we got the Joel Embiid?
I'm telling you, that's a sleeper.
A little bit.
That 76ers and Pacers.
76ers and Pacers.
That's a sleeper.
Yeah, because the Pacers have a bottom five defense in the NBA, so I expect Joel
now
to go
up. I know
up.
How you can sit next to Perk. You can't see him.
I need to get glasses. Let's take a look back at some of the best Heat-Celtics moments in the history of their storied rivalry. We're just going to go back here to the 2012 Paul Pierce sizing up LeBron.
Ooh, that's how you answer.
I'm glad I wasn't there.
Why?
I was in Oklahoma at the time.
Doing nothing.
No, waiting on this
be nice.
To end so I can get to the finals.
Why are we like this? All right, and then we have, what is this, the 2013 alley.
No. That was an offensive foul, JT.
Do it.
Hey, Jet, I got your back, bro. That was an offensive foul.
That was just rude. All right, we're going to bring it back a little bit more recently here. This is the 2020 bubble. Remember this? Bam. Big block
on Tatum. Top five block of all time.
Yes.
I agree.
Top five block of all time. Look at that.
Yes, with the left.
Remember the virtual fans? What a strange time. All right. Lastly, though, we got Derek White. Remember this? Winning it at the buzzer to force a game.
Never giving up on the
play. Yep. Oh, man.
Derek White has completely changed the culture.
How'd that series end?
All right, on that note, let's take a look at the all-time head-to-head between the Celtics and the Heat. Boston has a big edge in the regular season. But
thank you for stopping that.
They've won four of their six playoff series, including, of course, last year's Eastern Conference Finals and all this. So we know that the Heat, they have a lot of history here with the Boston Celtics. I'm still trying to get my eyes
shut. Yeah, man, you see Paul Pierce was trashing UD. Paul Pierce was trashing UD in the comment section. In the comment section saying, oh, they just gave this to him. It's like, look, these dudes is 40-plus and old and gone, and they're still
did you see what KG did to his teammate? You saw that part.
Listen,
that
was kind of funny. They still beefing in the comment sections on IG. This rivalry ain't going nowhere. And in case anybody was wondering, I'm Team UD on this one.
Your Team UD.
Hell yeah.
All right, let's back up just a little bit, though. Who do you trust more this season, Perk? The Miami Heat, which you can never count out. I know they've been struggling lately, or the Boston Celtics?
I can. I can count them out, and I'm counting them out. I trust the Celtics. They're too deep, and they got revenge on their mind.
You get paid to say that.
Are you as definitively on the side of the Celtics?
I'm not, because somehow these two are fighting. It's all right. Somehow the Heat end up in the finals two out of the last 4 years, but I'm still going with the Celtics.
I'm going with the Heat, damn it.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Look, UD, congratulations. It is well deserved.
Yes,
don't listen to the haters. That's why they're haters.
That's going
to
do it for us. We will see you tomorrow.